Glad to have each and every one of you this morning. Thank you for being here. It's an honor to be able to be here and worship God in this house.
Amen.
It's a privilege that we have as Americans. God gave us this privilege to be able to get up and come and worship Him right out of our heart. I'm thankful for that today. I want you to go back with me to the book of Job, chapter 9. We want to continue our series we started last week. Lord willing, we'll try to finish it up today, but we basically begin to deal with the topic of understanding struggle. Understanding struggle. As I told you that over the last several months, I've had opportunities to meet with different people and talk to different people, got at my work, my boss, different ones, and every single conversation, it was like the Lord's wanting me to hear, they would say, I'm struggling. I'm struggling in my faith. I'm struggling. It's not that I don't believe in God. I believe in God. I know there's a God. I know God is real. But as far as for me, I'm struggling. And I can identify with that, and I did identify with that because all of us deal with struggle. We all know everything that's right. As Paul said, but there's opportunity comes and we don't always do it. So how do we deal with that? I mean, how does God look on that? Well, God gave us the book of Job as a revelation. Of a revelation of how believers deal with struggle. Job is a tremendous book. It's sort of, as I said last week, it's a book like Revelation. We don't know a lot about it, so we stay away from it. We just look at Job as being a book full of trouble and tragedy, and man, did that guy go through something. And we just kind of, out of sight, out of mind kind of thing. But in essence, Job's just like we are. And as I begin to read and study about this, really, when you look at the book of Job, it's just a revelation of the beginning of time. Job is a reenactment of Genesis. Because when you begin to understand Genesis, man was created in a perfect environment. It was perfect. God said Job's perfect. That he's a perfect man. Not meaning now our understanding of perfect. He was human. And we see that as you read through Job. So you understand that God didn't mean that he was without fault or anything like that. Because Job is a book that really reveals how he feels, how he felt. How would you like somebody to record your bad days and you tell exactly how you feel during that day and write it down so that hundreds and millions of people could read it? But that's what the Word of God is. It reveals to us. So it's creating a perfect environment, and then sin entered in. It caused all the turmoil. And so Job is a revelation of a reenactment of what happened to us in the garden. And then we started out last week, and I'm not going to take time to go back and re-preach all what I did last week, but we started with number one was the predicament. Now let's go to Job chapter 9. Now Job, keep in mind, for those of you that are just catching up today, Job is among his friends, he's among people. But there's an essence of time there that Job just starts telling how he really feels. He begins to even doubt that God could love him because he's beginning to feel like, because all of his friends have said something must be wrong with you in order for all this bad stuff to be happening to you. And we all know that's a lie because of the predicament of man. We all deal with struggle and we all deal with sin and we all deal with evil. And so Job is saying, he's sitting here and he starts talking to himself. And he said, and Job answered and said, chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, he says, I know it's so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? That's a very real statement right there because he's saying, how can God love me as bad as I am? Everybody's saying I'm bad, so evidently there's something wrong in me. I thought I was doing everything right, but now all this stuff's coming against me. So we talked about last week the predicament. The predicament It doesn't have anything to do with you. It doesn't have anything to do with me. Sin entered this world because of disbelief and because of rebellion. And it entered in. Evil is in this world because there's an evil factor called Lucifer, Satan, whatever you want to call him. We deal with sin. We were born in sin. Romans 3:23 says, we've all come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we're born into this particular. So our struggle begins by, as I said last week, we got to begin to understand us. Why are you struggling? Well, we're struggling. Why are we struggling? Because there's sin nature in this world. I'll put a word on you this morning I want you to remember. This world is cursed. This world's cursed. Amen. Now, when I begin to preach messages like this, we live in such an intelligent world today that we're far above Halloween and we're far above all that. So what does curse mean? What do you mean, preacher, that we're cursed? That life, you got to get this. Sin entered the world to curse life. You know that's why we die? But guess what? We got an awesome God that says, hey, let me tell you this. Your body's going to die, but you ain't going to die. You're going to live forever. Amen? Isn't that awesome? You might go to my funeral, but I won't be there because of a loving, wonderful God. He broke that curse. Amen? When Jesus went into the ground and then he came out of that tomb, guess what he did? He broke the curse. But there's a curse in this world, and everything in just listen to this. Adam and Eve walked in a beautiful place before Satan came in there. And when Satan came in there, everything started going in reverse. Isn't it amazing how sin destroys things? Isn't it amazing? You know why we get old? Because of sin. Sin is a curse. Our lives are cursed. This flesh is cursed. Does everybody understand that this morning? I want you to get this part right here because you got to understand why you are struggling. We've all come short. The predicament of sin is because, as Paul Harvey said, the rest of the story is that Satan came in and took the free will of God, free will of man away, stole that, and stole his life. But Jesus came as the second Adam to restore that. Amen? Now, as we said here, Adam and Eve are now run out of the garden. Evil is here. Struggle is here. And now you're struggling. Now I'm struggling. We're struggling each day to deal with life. We're struggling each day to deal. Well, let's look at the second thing. The second thing I want to talk about this morning is the problem revealed. There was a predicament, and now there's a problem. You got to understand that man is a sinner. You are cursed. Your flesh is cursed with sin. Sin is that thing we deal with every day. We were born in it. Our nature is it. We are tempted to practice in it. We are tempted to have habits in it. How many of you know that? How many of you know that we struggle doing what's right sometimes? Can I get amen on that? Amen. All right. Now, the reason God wants us to deal with sin is because it destroys. It takes away. It separates you from what God has for you. Thank God Jesus came and spilled his blood on Calvary to restore us. But right now, until you get to heaven, now I'm going to tell you something. Some people believe that when you get saved, everything works out. But how many of you know that's not true? You still deal with your flesh. You still deal with things in your life. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we did get saved and oh, we never have another struggle in life? That'd be great. And guess what? We're headed to a place like that. I want you to get this today. Satan don't want me to preach stuff like this to you today because he don't want you to know the truth. He wants you to fake that what you're going through right now is who you are. He wants you to fake that that problem you're dealing with is who you are. He wants you to think that because of that addiction that you've got, that's who you are. But that's not who you are. God created you a living being to glorify Him. Amen? And sin comes to say, oh no, that's not you. You're this and you're that. No, I'm not. I might be dealing with that, but that's not who I am. Amen. I'm a child of the King. Do you know right now every one of you are a child of the King because you're here? You're not here by chance. You're not here by mistake. Well, my mama didn't want me. You know, I heard of people getting abortions. I've heard of people getting abortions and somehow or another that baby lived. I've heard of that. And I said, you know what? That's God just messing with them. Amen. That's God just messing with them. Say, you are not the giver of life and you're not the taker of life. And let me tell you something. Every aborted fetus in the world, every aborted baby in the world is right there with Him today. Let me tell you something. God is God and He is King of everything. Amen. Don't you ever. I must be pretty good. I can't hardly talk. God never has made junk. I know we've heard that till we're sick of it, but still it's true. God, you are not your struggle. Boy, you got to get that. You are not your struggle. The only reason you're dealing with struggle is because there's sin in the world. Now, sin wants you to give in, and sin wants you to let your guard down, but I believe this. I know I'm old, but I believe this. Every single human being in their heart knows what's wrong and what's right. Amen? We know. You don't have to have nobody tell you what's wrong and what's right. You know. But here's the deal. Sin will come up and say, you don't have to listen to that. You don't have to change. You don't have to be any different. You just stay like you are. Let me ask you guys a question this morning. Has any good thing ever come from sin? Have you ever seen anybody that just gave themselves, us included? You remember when we were living under the realm of sin, it just takes away everything. It takes away your home. It takes away your job. It takes away who you are. It takes away your independence. It takes away your life. Amen? That's what sin does. You know? Sin, you know, we don't want to hear about it today. They tell us, you know, you shouldn't really talk about that because it makes people feel uncomfortable. Hello? Don't you think we need to feel uncomfortable once in a while? Amen? Because what God, look, God just don't want me to have no fun. God just don't want me to have no fun. No, He's trying to keep you alive. Amen. Sort of like when our moms and daddies, you know, they didn't know nothing. When we were 18 years old, we knew everything. That's why 18-year-old needs to be president. Then everything in the world will be solved. Amen. Amen. Yeah. They didn't know nothing. Now that we're where they were, they did know something. See, God's just trying to protect you. And Satan wants to come in with this predicament thing and say, man, you don't need to listen to that church stuff. You don't need to get involved in that. You are who? Man, you got this problem. You're always going to have this problem. You're always going to live with this. You're always, let me tell you something. I may have problems, and I may have to live with some of them, but guess what? If I have to deal with it, God's going to be right there to help me deal with it. Amen? Amen. He's going to, and that's so that I'm not who that problem says I am. I'm not that addiction. I'm not that what people say. I am a child of the King, and you need to believe that. You got to believe that in your mind. It's not a matter of if you live perfect or what, because there's nobody who does. And if somebody gets all in your face telling you they live perfect, you need to get away from them real quick. Because they bad wrong. Amen? Let me tell you something. We all got stuff to deal with. People don't want to go to church anymore because they say church people point fingers at them, and church people judge them. And let me tell you something. That's one thing I love about Northview. Northview loves people, no matter who you are when you come in here. And I'm not just giving that, that's the truth. I'm a recipient of that. My wife's a recipient of that. You want to know why? Because there's some real people in here. Amen? Who really do go through things, who really are not perfect, but they love God. Isn't that what church is supposed to be about? Amen? I believe if everybody in this town knew that, we'd be packed out today. Because there's a lot of people trying to find a place to fit in. Well, if you can't fit in here, you got a problem, because we all realize we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you ever point your finger at somebody, guess what? You got three pointing back at you, right? Man is sinful. So Job's sitting here saying, man is sinful and God is holy. How in the world can we identify with that? Let me tell you something. People give up on God through church. People give up on God through so-called Christians. Am I telling the truth? Y'all are real quiet this morning. Hello? I'm on the radio this morning because I got to have some audience here. But in the truth, every one of us has been hurt by some Christian somewhere. Every one of us has been hurt by somebody who claimed to be walking on water. Most times they drown them, but they tell you they're walking on water. And it's affecting all of us, because you can't sit there and say, well, it don't matter to me what they say. Yes, it does. It affects us. That's why people don't want to go to church today. You mention church, you ought to see their face. It just falls off to the ground, because you know what? This is the reason we got to get them in the Northview. Amen? This is the reason you got to tell them there is a place that you can come and be real. Because He's here. How many of you know God is here? And He's here to restore. He's here to let us know. I know that you're struggling. I know you're going through stuff. But man don't have a right to judge you. How many of you have ever been judged before? Don't raise your head, but how many of you have been judged before? And that hurts. And you know what? You know what that does a lot of times? That is, I ain't going there no more. You know what that does? Satan says, awesome. If I can keep them away from the Word, if I can keep them away from God's people, I got them. And the whole time, it's a lie. Because God is the King. Do you hear me this morning? And Job is sitting here. Job now, God done said the man is perfect, but Job is struggling. And he said, I can't identify. I'm sinful and God's holy. How does that come? That leads me to my last point. Say amen for the last point. The provision. So Job, look on down to verse 3. If he will contend with him, he cannot answer him, one of a thousand. So, what's he saying? Then you go on down, and you see, verse 32, for he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. And I'm just picking out a couple of things, but I want you to read in your times, study this, especially chapter 9, because what it's saying here is summed up in 1 Timothy. So if you turn there real quick, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. So the predicament, the problem, and now the provision. God knew there was a predicament, and He knew there was a problem. So He came in to make a way of escape. I feel this real strong in my heart today. There's a lot of people. I feel this real strong. And I'm going to say this. There's a lot of people in the world trying not to believe. So what world does that mean? In their heart, they know there's a God. They know there's a God. But then here comes the problem, is that the enemy's coming up all that. Well, what about that person in church there? What about that person there? What about that person that let you down? What about this? What about that? You know, he's good at that stuff. But you know what? With all that said and done, there's a lot of people trying not to believe. But in their heart, they know what's right. Is that true or false? And so God said, man, I got to come up with somebody that can go in between this problem. So he sent us Jesus to build a bridge. That bridge is used every day. Get this in mind now. That bridge is used every day with me, with my name on it. Jesus continually going across that bridge, back and forth to God, said, hey, God, he needs this, or he needs that, or he don't understand this, he needs this. Isn't that awesome that we got a mediator? Amen. I love that. But let me read this to you, 1 Timothy chapter 2. For there is one God, verse 5, one mediator between God and men. That right there answers the question Job had. How can holiness and ungodliness come together? He's saying right there is a mediator. The man Christ Jesus, look at verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified. Boy, this is a good part right here. In due time. What's due time? What does that mean? Let me read it to you again. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all. That's what we celebrate every Sunday right here. Look at this. To be testified in due time. You know what due time means? When I need him the most. When I need him the most, he's God. When I'm on my face, he's God. When I am dealing with unbelief, he's God. When I am struggling to the point I don't even want to go to church no more. How many of y'all come in these doors by faith because you didn't feel a thing when you came in? Amen? Yeah, I know y'all ain't going to say nothing. But you know it's the truth. You know, how many of you, when it comes time to pray, you didn't want to pray because you were mad at God? Or it ain't going to work no way. I prayed about this stuff. Oh, I'm tired of praying. You know what? That's due time. That's the time when God don't walk away. That's the time when all it takes, he will show you he is God. And all the time that you're going through this kind of stuff, guess what he's doing? He's got you wrapped around his arm. He's holding you. He ain't going to let you go because he loves you. Amen? That's an awesome, awesome God. God knows you struggle. He identifies with it, and he wants you to know. Job went through his struggle, and at the end, he ended up with more. So you know what? We're going to struggle in this life. There was a perfect garden created. Job was perfect. Sin came in, destroyed the garden. Job went through struggle. But at the end, how many of you know the story of Job? That at the end, he had more than he had in the beginning, which symbolizes to us. There's coming a day we're going to have more than we had in the beginning. We're going to have a place called heaven. We're going to have a place where there'll be no more sin, there'll be no more sorrow, for the former things are passed away. Amen. And I'm on my way. I know God is struggling. I know you're struggling, but God is there with you. I want to ask you to stand to your feet this morning. And if you don't mind, I want you to take the hand of the woman beside of you. Now, you may or may not know what that hand you're holding is going through. Most likely, you probably don't know. But God does. And so what I want you to do this morning, we've talked about struggle, and we know that you're going through something. You're struggling with something, but today we're going to do something by faith. I don't want you to pray for yourself right now. I want you to pray for the hand that you're holding. And I want you to ask God to touch them and help them receive this message today and help them in their struggle. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of coming to Northview today. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of your word. Your word is so real. Lord, we do struggle. We battle battles, and sometimes multiple battles, dear, today. Sometimes we struggle in our faith. Sometimes we struggle in our feelings, our emotions, our actions, how we feel about you, how we feel about others. Sometimes, God, we struggle with knowing what to do. We know what's right, but we struggle with doing it. But God, thank you for your word this morning. It lets me know that you don't give up on us. And God, I pray I don't give up on myself, because I am not what this struggle says I am. I am not what this struggle tells me I am. I am an overcomer. I am a winner. I am going to be successful in this thing. My life is valuable so much that you gave yourself. Thank you, God, for a place like Northview that reminds me every week of the blood that was shed and the body that was broken, so that I could today come before you with all of my brokenness and say, Lord, fix me. And know, God, that you're going to do it. Thank you, Lord, for these people today. Thank you, Lord, for their lives, what they're going through. And, Lord, whatever they're dealing with today, let them know that they will win. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.